You're listening to Radio Influence.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles, and we're going to talk a little football today. Before that, let's give some love to our title sponsor, who is Hess Spinal Centers. They provide the very best medical care for you and your family when you're in the time of need, when you have a car accident, when you need treatment, and you need knowledge. You have to go straight to Hess Spinal Centers. They have 16 locations here in the Bay Area. Give them a call at 1-800-618-HESS. That's 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress. Call Hess. You have an accident? Call my people at Hess. Now, let's get to the nitty-gritty. Let's get down to football and our beloved Buccaneers. Boy, I love our Buccaneers. I love them. But sometimes I hate them. You know, free agency is always that time where you sit back and you wait for some commotion and you wait for your team to bring in a player that's going to really result in wins. Not sure if we've done that. Obviously, it was very important that we re-sign Mike Evans. Without Mike Evans, this offense ain't going no damn where. Does Mike Evans still have some getting better to do? Yes, absolutely. But Mike Evans is a bona fide NFL star. If Mike Evans is out in the market, he's going to go and he's going to get a ridiculous amount of money, which the Bucs gave him. So congratulations to Mike Evans for getting paid. And that's a piece of our puzzle we don't have to worry about for the next 3 years or so, hopefully, if Mike Evans stays healthy. Now, the Bucs have done a lot of moves, but a lot of them have been really lateral moves and keeping a lot of their own players. Now, today, which is Monday, they released Robert Ayers, who I don't even know what number dude was. I really, like, he made so little play. He made so few plays. I don't even know really what number he was. And there was so many, there was high expectations for this guy coming in as a pass rusher, and it didn't work out that way. So good riddance to Robert Ayers. He's out of here. Now, they signed a kicker, which is essential. You know, Chandler Contanzaro had good statistics from last year, bona fide kicker. You know, Buccaneer fans are easy to say this. Well, if we had a kicker, we would have won four more games last year. Let me say this. There was a couple games where we missed field goals that we lost. But before you just blame it on field goal kicking, think of who we ever stopped at the end of a game when we needed to. So if there's one more, you know, one more drive and our defense is on the field, we gave up the booty all year long. So for me to say, well, if we made that kick in the third quarter, we'd have won the game, that means our defense closed the game up and our offense wasn't that great at closing games either. So the kicking wasn't great last year. Aguayo is going to be over Jason Light's head forever. That was a big mistake, and a mistake that you can't make. So we have a new kicker in here that's a bona fide cat, so hopefully we won't have to worry about the kicking this year. And when you're not really consistent anywhere, and the Bucs really aren't, having consistent kicking is very, very important. No doubt the kicker can win and lose games for you. Now, the Bucs re-signed Brett Grimes as well. You know, I heard people complaining that we're re-signing our old guys. And, well, Brett Grimes, regardless how old he is, was one of our better players last year. No doubt about that. He's one of our better football players as a Buccaneer last year. And I think he has the mentality that a lot more of our teammates need here with the Buccaneers is there's not a lot of we don't have a lot of grimy players. And they don't have a lot of dogs out there. Brett Grimes had a little bit in him. It's probably from battling his wife all the time because she looks like she seems like a handful. Now, they re-signed Keith Tandy as well. I had high expectations for Keith Tandy last year, and he definitely didn't live up to them. I just didn't see him on the field a lot. He didn't make a whole lot of plays. He's made some plays in the past. It makes me think that there's something physical going on with Keith Tandy because they really didn't give him an opportunity to make a whole lot of plays last year. So it's just we're messing with really our depth, which is okay. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he was re-signed. It's important sometimes that, you know, quarterbacks and teammates are familiar. Right now, Jameis is familiar with Ryan Fitzpatrick as a backup. Ryan Fitzpatrick is okay as a backup. He's not a guy that makes a lot of, you know, cause a lot of ruckus being the number two. when he's called on as number one. You know, I'm not sure he's not the best backup quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he showed up pretty darn well. I don't want him starting 16 games for my team, but as a backup quarterback, I think we're in great hands with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So that was definitely a good signing. Cameron Brate re-signed. If O.J. Howard turns out to be the player that we all expect him to be, he looks the part. He's a physical specimen. He still has to learn the game. Cameron Brate, once again, like I say, Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably the best number two quarterback in the league. I'm not sure that Cameron Brate's not the best number two tight end. And I see Cameron Brate getting down, getting dirty. We're going to have two tight ends who can block. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of two tight end sets. The one thing, you know, that Dirk Koetter has to look back on last year is he came out talking about running the football in the beginning of the season, and it seems like we got away from that. I think it had a lot to do with the ineffectiveness of our offensive line at times. We just didn't run the ball well last year. I don't remember, looking back, I don't remember a lot of 100-yard games. I really don't. It could have been more than two, but we didn't really take it to anybody last year. We really didn't. And it's time for our offensive line to start taking over some games and getting after people. Now, I said in the offseason, what's essential is that we put a couple names, you know, on our offensive line. And they brought in Ryan Jensen. Gave him a little bit of money, 4 years, $42 million. I don't really care about money. I just, you know, it's on there, so I might as well bring it up. Steady football player, and they're going to put Ali Marpet back to guard, which I thought they should have done last year anyways. I thought Ali Marpet was a serviceable center, and I think Ali Marpet is a Pro Bowl guard. So I'm not quite sure why they tried to mix everything up anyways. It really, to me, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. So at the beginning of this offseason, I said, we got to bring me a couple more offensive linemen and bring me a couple more defensive linemen. Obviously, defensive line is the emphasis right now. They brought in Mitchell Unrein and Bo Allen. Two stocky defensive tackles, more run stopper type dudes, two gap. But, you know, they can get up the field. You can't have too many defensive linemen. I don't care what style that they play, you can't have too many defensive linemen. Sometimes when you have a guy who's more of a run stopper, and you can bring him in sometimes on pass rushing situations, boy, it's hard sometimes to block a fresh defensive lineman. It really is. So we have bodies, which is good. And we're going to have depth, which is good. You know, when you're talking about Gerald McCoy and his role, and I got a question. If you guys want to ever email me, you can hit me up at ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. And I had a couple people ask me a couple questions. First of all, Scott Shepley, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. And Joshua DeBose pretty much asked me, with the signing of the defensive tackles, is this really early signs that Jason Light is going to be limiting Gerald McCoy's play? Now, Gerald McCoy doesn't play all of the downs. Now, I grew up in an era where defensive linemen didn't come out of the football game. They really didn't. Gerald McCoy probably plays 75% of the snaps, which is probably what he should be playing. It's a different day and age, and Gerald gets banged up a lot. Gerald is making a lot of money, and we got to figure out ways to make him more effective. Because I've said this before, there's times where the team would be more effective with Gerald not on the field. That doesn't mean he shouldn't be starting. That means there's times where he's tiring out. I see him get pushed around a lot. And maybe if he even limited his snaps to 50%, he'd be a little bit more effective. Bring in these, you know, the Unrein and Bo Allen, bigger, thuggish type cats. Bring them in on a lot of first downs and run situations. And maybe bring Gerald in a lot more pass situations. Gerald's not getting young anymore. He's not young. And what happens is you start to get wore out. And what's important is that you have Gerald McCoy at the end of the season healthy and that we're vying for a playoff spot. So, you know, as much as I get on Gerald McCoy, he might be more effective with just a little bit less playing time. And I think he's at that time in his career. Now, they also brought in Vinnie Curry from Philadelphia. And you know, last year he had 42 tackles, which is not too bad. 3 sacks, so he's not a huge pass rusher. But, you know, we need people that are pushing this pocket as well. We didn't have a lot of sacks last year, but we didn't have a lot of hurries either or quarterback hits. So we need somebody who's just going to get after that quarterback and be a little bit relentless and have a little piss and vinegar in you. And hopefully, you know, Jason Light and Shelton Quarles, who runs the pro part of the scouting, hopefully they're bringing in some attitude. Like, I haven't had a chance to really sit down and watch these guys play. That might be something I do here in the offseason to get myself ready for the season so I know what the hell's going on, because defensively we're going to have a lot of different names up there. And now you're looking at, you know, guys like Golston, who, you know, I don't know if he's going to be a starter. I'm not sure if Vinnie Curry doesn't get thrown in there. Clinton McDonald, he's another guy. I think Clinton McDonald can play. I really do. I don't know if he's in the right spot. I think the 3 technique is really where he should be playing. So maybe these young kids or these bigger, bolder guys can alleviate some of those reps at nose guard, and maybe Clinton McDonald could spell Gerald McCoy every once in a while. Let those guys go out at that 3 technique. So free agency is well into the nitty-gritty part right now. The Bucks haven't made a crazy splash. All they're kind of penciling things in here and there. But it didn't have to be that sexy. Because I said, listen, we're okay at the skill positions. We really are. We're just having a big problem inside when you get close to the football. So bringing in Ryan Jensen, Unrein, Bo Allen, Vinnie Curry, then we're talking about things that are close to the football, which is good. We have to get way stronger at the football. So I had a question of what's it like when you sign a big-time free agent when you're in the locker room? When you sign a big-time free agent for a lot of money, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I've been in situations where it works and I've been in situations where it doesn't. I'm going to give you a good example. When Green Bay signed Reggie White, Green Bay's team changed immediately. Like, the complexion of the team, the attitude of the team, and signed immediately. When we as Buccaneer fans went out and got Alvin Harper, and that's what I was playing way back when in the Orange, you know, we had expectations that this guy's going to come in and, you know, he's going to, you know, change our offense, because, you know, Alvin Harper balled out in Dallas when he was over there, but he was also the number 2 guy. And he had Michael Irvin on the other side, Hall of Famer. He had Jay Novacek, Hall of Famer. He had Troy Aikman, Hall of Famer. Moose Johnson, Hall of Famer. Emmitt Smith, Hall of Famer. Let me keep on going. Mark Stepnowski, Center, Hall of Famer. Larry Allen, Hall of Famer. Eric Williams, Hall of Famer. And he had the other Nate Newton, borderline Hall of Famer, and 2A on the other side, who was pretty damn good and died too early. They had Hall of Famers everywhere on their offense. It's a little bit easier for you to shine when, you know, you're not the go-to guy. You can't double-team Alvin Harper if Novacek's out there and Michael Irvin's out there. So, you know, his statistics obviously were ballooned because of, you know, you got the second and third best guy on you. Now, when you come to Tampa all of a sudden and you're the man and they put the man on defense on you, he wasn't the same football player. Now, you know, Alvin wasn't quite as devoted to his craft as he needed to be. And I think that was the problem as well. Alvin worked hard. He really did. He was sometimes at the complex first, and I used to be a guy who'd be there first, and I used to get there sometimes, and Alvin was leaving after his workout. So he was in there. He was a hard worker. Off the field, I just don't think he did what was right all the time. Maybe staying out too much and doing this and a little of that too much. But it definitely, I never seen anybody lose confidence as quickly as Alvin Harper did. When he first got to Tampa Bay, he couldn't drop anything. Then all of a sudden, he had a couple injuries. He was banged up a little bit. He had a couple misfortunes, like really sad ones. He had some kind of hand injury, and one of our trainers was trying to cut off his tape and ended up cutting the webbing of his hand with the tape cutter. So he had some bad luck, obviously, but that didn't work as far as free agency. What the Buccaneers thought he was going to be. He definitely wasn't that. And then it came down to a point where him and Sam Leitch absolutely hated each other. And that doesn't help either when your head coach is calling plays and the last thing he wants to do is throw the ball to you. And it got to a point where he couldn't catch a cold. He couldn't catch anything. So there's times where your free agent comes in the locker room, he improves things right away, and there's other times where everybody's kind of looking at him like, yeah, I don't know if this is the guy. We played against the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to say this was 1993 when they just got Ricky Waters, and they just got Ricky Waters from San Francisco, and we played them in the first game of the season. And Ricky Waters got introduced. He came out of the tunnel. He didn't have a helmet on. Everybody was going crazy. They loved Ricky Waters. And then in the fourth quarter, while we're throttling them, I'm trying to think who the quarterback was at that time. Could have been Rodney Pete. I'm not sure. But throws a pass down the middle of the field, and Ricky Waters short arms it, and he's not reaching for that ball. And the crowd started booing. Then after the game, when he was asked in the press, why didn't you reach out for the ball? His quote was, I believe, for who, for what? Well, having played in Philadelphia, that ain't a Philadelphia mentality. Philadelphia mentality is you better reach your arm up and get your ass knocked out. And from that point on, I ended up playing with Ricky in 1997. So it was years after, and people were still talking about it. So, you know, there's ways where you can get better free agent-wise, and there's ways where you can mess up as well. Ricky actually had a pretty good run over there in Philadelphia. He just, he was just a little much to deal with. Now, our Buccaneers, the other day I was talking to somebody about cap space, and listen, I don't give a crap how much the Buccaneers have in cap space. I really don't. I just know that they have a lot of damn money, and they never spend the damn money. They never do. Never. They'll even go out sometimes and get a big-time free agent. But if you really look closely, there's still a whole lot of money there that you can work with. And, you know, if you're trying to build a beautiful house and you have $100,000 and you spend $40,000 and there's $60,000 left, your house could have been a lot more beautiful. And this Buccaneer team could be a lot more beautiful than it is right now. Because if you look at the statistics, at the end of 2017, the Buccaneers had $68 million under the cap, which was the fourth most in the NFL. That means you could have spent a lot more money last year. You could have went out and got three fantastic players or more. $68 million they had left at the end of the year. And at the point right now, they have $41 million to spend. That is seventh most in the NFL. Now, the six teams that have more money than them to spend are all losing teams from last year. Do you see a correlation? Teams that spend win. The Philadelphia Eagles, who won the Super Bowl last year, 45% of their team was constructed of free agents. You go out and you get football players you know can play. Not saying I dislike any of the players they brought in. I don't really know them that well. But maybe the fact that I don't know them that well is a little telling. I don't know these names. You know, did they make our team better? Possibly. Are they game changers? I don't think so. You know, 42 tackles and three sacks, a solid football player, but it's not a game changer. And if you're waiting for the draft to get a game changer, that ain't the way to do it. That really is not the way to do it. And looking at all these mock drafts, which I hate to look at, but I just kind of have to do it because it's kind of my job. You know, I see people talk about Minka Fitzpatrick, defensive back from Alabama, being the number seventh pick. And, boy, you can't pick a position that's less effective than a safety. And the kid is a DB, I guess. And if you're going to put him at safety or slot, that means you're just not a shutdown corner. So why would you spend the seventh pick on a corner that's not a shutdown corner? You can get away with the middle-of-the-road safety. Corners are essential. But I don't know why the Bucs would pick. They really think they're going to be rookies now. They're going to play like rookies. I take that seventh pick, and I go down as far as I can. And I get as much as I can. Because if you go back and you look at the great teams, the Seattle Seahawks, look at how they're built. They're built with fourth rounders, fifth rounders, sixth rounders, because somebody knows how to pick. If you give me a bunch of picks, you got a better chance of getting an NFL caliber football player. So just that number seventh pick, I don't know if it's even it even warrants. I don't know what position you would take there. I really don't. If you took an offensive lineman, I don't know if they'd be good enough to beat anybody we have out right now. And maybe we could still use a left guard. But once again, left guards don't win football games. They don't. Especially as a rookie. You're going to make rookie mistakes. So, you know, Jason Light has a lot of, you know, a lot of thinking to do of how we can take it to the next level because, you know, Jason Light and Dirk Koetter and all the coaches and all the players, they have to know if you start 1-3 this year, your asses may be out of here. You may be out of here. So their attitude in the offseason better be one of urgency because, you know, once the whole regime changes, you don't know whether your name is going to be on, you know, the next regime's docket. You don't know that. You don't know if you're going to fit in. So those guys better come out, you know, with all the guns a-blazing, all of them, because it's going to be very short-lived if these guys don't figure out ways to win games very, very early. Jameis Winston's been a winner all his life. He goes 1-3. Now all of a sudden you're a loser. That's it. If I had a nickel for every great college quarterback that didn't win in the league, I would be rich. So it's getting to the point now where he has to prove to himself that he's a winner. Don't worry about going out there and acting like a leader. Stop that. It'll happen organically. And win a few games and then see how everybody acts around you. You know, when you're eating W's and you're losing and you're getting mocked by your peers, that's not a good look. He knows that's not a good look. Rein it back a little bit. Pull it back a little bit. Don't worry about the speeches as much as you worry about getting in your playbook and making the right decision. And I hear the right things about Jameis Winston. First in, last out. He is a leader. He is a hard worker. He gets himself prepared. Just maybe you're putting a little bit too much weight on your own shoulders with that leadership thing. With wins comes leadership. You don't even have to say a word. If you're winning football games and when people put those films on Monday and those film looks good and you're making the right decisions, to me that's leadership, not your pregame speech. You know, Ray Lewis gave great pregame speeches, but when you put that film on Monday, he was balling out. Same with Drew Brees. All those guys, they deserve to get up there and speak. Jameis hasn't deserved anything yet. Really, there's no Buccaneers I can think of right now that deserve to get up front there and be the leader. Let the coach lead it, win a few games, and then go from there. So, you know, free agency is not over. I expect the Buccaneers to do maybe a couple more things. But I don't expect anything. I mean, I don't know if there's any more splashes out there. I really don't. People were talking about Dominican Sue. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I don't see it. I think if Dominican Sue was here, I just don't know if Gerald McCoy and Sue can coexist. I just don't. I don't know, you know, I don't know who would have more issues. I don't think Sue would probably say anything. I think Gerald would have an issue. No doubt. You know what? It'd be a good look. It wouldn't be a bad look because they're two totally different football players, but they're going to put stress on somebody's offense real, real quick. So we will see. I don't see it, especially when they brought in three defensive linemen already. I think that's probably taken care of. Maybe you can bring in one other offensive lineman or maybe deal with it in the draft as well. So I just don't see a whole lot happening between now and the end of free agency. And the next thing you know, we're going to be messing with the draft and evaluating that whole thing. Anyways, I love talking football. We do this every single week. I have another podcast, Flavor in Your Ear, where we get a chance to talk to. Sometimes we have a guest on there. We're talking a little pop culture and a lot of fun things, little politics and all the crazy things happening in our world. There's not as many crazy things happening in sports, but there sure is a whole lot of crazy things happening in our world. Anyways, I appreciate you guys listening in. If you want to email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. If you have any football questions, and if you want to follow me on social media, it's @ianbeckles, IanBeckles. Everybody have a wonderful week, and keep your eye on the Buccaneers, and hopefully we get some things done. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is a Crush Performance Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
They've identified 81 factors that determine why kids play sport. And there's 11 of those that are directly related to coaching and the influence of coaching. And one of those, I could tell you right now, was a coach that's knowledgeable about the sport.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a big point. I think for the younger kids, you know, depending on the age group, maybe,
exactly,
Hernan, motivation and fun is the key at certain levels.
Yeah.
But if we look at that very critical age group, that 12 to 15 year old age group where puberty is happening, body's changing, mm-hmm, kids are developing at different rates. Sport changes there as well, because we have specialization, travel teams, and you're not playing with your buddies anymore.
Exactly.
A coach has to be a really special person there to really identify with all the different athletes on a team. And you've got to be well-rounded. But most importantly, I think you have to be aware. But when kids decide they want to focus in on a sport, it's so important to have a good understanding and knowledge of the game you're coaching.
Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crichel, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.